This week on Potlatch, Richard Frank of Minto, Georgiana Lincoln of Rampart, and Chris Anderson, the executive director of the Tanana Chiefs.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls have been
at the Tanana Chiefs Conference semi-annual meeting in March, Richard Frank told how the village of New Minto was investing its land claims monies.
We've been approached practically from on all areas in investing. We've been advised from other sources, and I believe in other native areas also, that when I say approach, I said we've been approached by the Lower 48 and local, and the board made some suggestion in investing, and at this time Minto has no investment whatsoever. But we've investigated other areas for purely investment, because we know we have to contend with the state or federal taxes by 1991. And we are open, you know, for suggestions and all that. The board is very liberal in listening for, I mean, for advice and all that in investments.
Richard Frank was asked if the road to Minto helped or hurt the village.
When we moved to New Minto, we know we had to contend with progress. This is one of the things that we really bounced around before we left Old Minto, that sooner or later our younger ones will have to contend with progress, and we knew that was what was involved when we say progress. There was a lot of problems that we had to contend with, and we are contending with these problems right now, and it's been severe problems, you know, such as the influx of people and in many areas, our younger generation was exposed to problems that we never really expected, such as there's, well, younger fellows get into mischiefs, you know, and these are things that we never ever really experienced at Minto, Old Minto, and right now we are experiencing it, and we have pretty well those things pretty well under control now, and like I said, we knew we were going to be contending with problems, and I think that if anybody's going to move, I would advise that they speak to the Native Council at Minto, because there is a lot of problems, and hopefully that we can be of help. It has helped, you know, as far as health standard, it has helped a great deal, and generally here in Alaska, the Native people are going into a new trend of the way of life. You know, in the past, we've always rely on subsistence off the land. Very few Native people really actually had this year-round work and all that. Right now, we're experiencing a change in life, and we know that we must be working. And therefore, there's a lot of Native people that is taking advantage of education and trying to better themselves, in comparison with the past. You know, in the past, we relied on just subsistence off the land, and that's pretty well out of the way now. With the harsh state laws on fishing games and all other areas.
Based on his experience with the road to New Minto, would Richard Frank recommend opening the North Slope Hall Road to the general public?
Not at this time. I really. I'm opposed on it, and I don't think that the state is prepared to take the responsibility on the North Slope Road. And I've worked up there, and I've experienced, in my own personal opinion, what would be involved, and this is why I say that I don't think that the state is prepared to take the responsibility.
Richard Frank was asked if the Self-Determination Act would serve Native people as a step forward, or would merely serve the BIA as a smokescreen to cover up foot dragging.
We classify a lot of areas as a smokescreen, and we are getting to the point where we are not totally combating it, but we're putting up our own smokescreen also, and we found out that the Self-Determination Act will be beneficial in the long run. We're not just really total lawmakers, but we are getting there.
Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride, uh-huh. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride, uh-huh. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride, a sword and a pistol by his side, uh-huh. He rode right up to Miss Mouse's door, uh-huh. let me in. He rode right up to Miss Mouse's door, uh-huh. He rode right up to Miss Mouse's door, and he hit it so hard that he made it roar, uh-huh. Then Miss Mousy let him in, uh-huh.
Come in, Mr. Foggy.
Then Miss Mousy let him in, uh-huh. Then Miss Mousy let him in, and the way they courted it was a sin, uh-huh. He took Miss Mousy right on his knee, uh-huh. Took Miss Mouse right on his knee, uh-huh. Took Miss Mouse right on his knee, and he says, Miss Mousy, would you marry me, uh-huh. Miss Mousy says, I don't know about that, uh-huh. Miss Mousy says, I don't know about that, uh-huh. Miss Mousy says, I don't know about that, but I believe to my soul you have to ask Uncle Rat, uh-huh. The old rat laughed as he gave away the bride, uh-huh. The old rat laughed as he gave away the bride, uh-huh. The old rat laughed as he gave away the bride. He laughed and he laughed and he shook his fat sides, uh-huh. Supper be, uh-huh. Where will a wedding supper be, uh-huh. Where will a wedding supper be? Away down yonder in a holler tree, uh-huh. What did he get for the wedding gown, uh-huh. What did he get for the wedding gown, uh-huh. What did he get for the wedding gown? The piece of hide of an old white hound, uh-huh. What will a wedding supper be, uh-huh? What will a wedding supper be, uh-huh? What will a wedding supper be? Two butter beans and a black-eyed pea, uh-huh. The first come in was a big June bug, uh-huh. First come in was a big June bug, uh-huh. First come in was a big June bug, dancing around with a half a pint jug, uh-huh. The second one in was a bumblebee, uh-huh. Second come in was a bumblebee, uh-huh. Second come in was a bumblebee, dancing around with a fiddle on his knee, uh-huh. The third man in was a little gray mouse, uh-huh. The third man in was a little gray mouse, uh-huh. There's a bride's brother. The third come in was a little gray mouse, and he says, Mr. Froggy, could I rent you a house, uh-huh. Froggy went a-traveling across the lake, uh-huh. Ooh, ooh. Froggy went a-traveling across the lake, uh-huh. Froggy went a-traveling across the lake, and he got swallowed up by a big black snake, uh-huh.
Now the executive director of the Tanana Chiefs, Chris Anderson, describes one of the Tanana Chiefs' educational projects.
The Tanana Survival School is a Johnson O'Malley-funded program. The program funds are to go towards educational purposes for children K through 12. The Tanana Survival School got its name because of the purpose of the school. The purpose of the school is to ensure that the cultural heritage of the interior natives survives. What these kids do from the villages is to go to a 5 to 6 week training period, which is held in one of the bush villages within the Tanana Chiefs region. The last three or four training sessions were held in the old village site of Tanacross, where they used the old school and the Episcopal Church that was sitting in Tanacross. They do things like in the wintertime, a lot of things that they do is like building sleds, making snowshoes, doing a lot of beadwork, sewing moccasins and things of this sort. about 4 or 5 days out of the 6 weeks, all the boys go out and build snares and essentially set up a trap line. What they do with the animals that are caught, they will use the animal fully and perhaps make moccasins or native attire. Part of the curriculum of the survival school is centered around the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. We have a teacher that puts together materials for the children, and it's quite an extensive course. In the summertime, when the season has changed, they go more into things like building canoes, making fish nets, and actually setting up a fish camp. About 3 or 4 of the sessions that were held within the last 2 years were held just right below Ruby, about 15 miles. And as soon as the kids got there, they set them to work to start building a fish camp. And that's what they did for about 4, 5, 6 weeks. What we are going to try and do with the Tanaraw Survival School is to decentralize it. In other words, rather than being a regional program, we are hoping that many of the villages will get turned on to this type of program and perhaps write for funding to develop a village type of program. We hope that this is the case, and as a matter of fact, I think we've got a lot of villagers that are very interested in doing this sort of thing. The survival school aimed primarily towards the high school students that were dropouts, students that just could not take the institutional way of education, people that were perhaps in boarding, in the boarding home program that had to leave their villages. So it brought education back to a village way of life.
So choosy, when the closing lights strip off the shadows on this strange new flesh you found, clutching the night to you like a fig leaf, you hurry to the blackness and the blankets to lay down an impression and your loneliness. In the morning, there are lovers in the street. They look so high. You brush against a stranger and you both apologize. Old friends seem indifferent. You must have brought that on. Old bonds have broken down. Love is gone. Ooh, love is gone. Written on your spirit, this says. Thank you. too early and trouble leaves too slow. Just when you're thinking you finally got it made, bad news comes knocking at your garden gate, knocking for you. Constant stranger, you're a brute, you're an angel, you can crawl, you can fly too, it's down to you.
Next, Georgiana Lincoln of Rampart comments on the effect of the Self-Determination Act on Alaska's native peoples.
Well, I think Self-Determination Act could be a help to the Indian people, but I think that the Indian people have to be very careful in how they implement the Self-Determination Act and how they read it. And I think that with any new act, you always have to read between the lines and make sure that you understand it in the way the people are trying to implement it, understand it the way it's intended. I think that the Indian people, Indian, Eskimo, Alaska Native people, have to constantly be kept up to date and even in doing it themselves, of the different acts, the different legislation that's on the state level, on the federal level, and constantly be aware of things that could possibly affect them. Because once it's passed, it's so hard to try and get it reversed. And I would just urge my native people to always listen to the news and try and keep up to date on things that are happening so that to protect our best interests.
The Interior Department decided to allow easements on native lands for highly significant present recreational use. The Interior Department also decided to allow a 25-foot coastline easement to allow rights of way for public facilities. Georgiana Lincoln comments on this decision.
I've lived in Fairbanks for, you know, a number of years, and how my perspective about roads being built in a village might not necessarily be how the villagers would see it, but I would hate to see any new roads being built into the village because of a federal law. That I think that the village people, wherever the roads are going at that particular village, must have a say as to whether it is allowable or not. I personally would not want to see it, and yet I don't want the people not to progress if that's how they feel that progress is made.
Arnie Mateke asked Georgiana Lincoln if Native American people should participate in the American Bicentennial.
That's a real interesting question, because I've talked with a number of people about it. At first, when I heard all this bicentennial this and that, thought, well, the Indian people should participate. It is our land, and we have an awful lot to offer, both to other tribes and to the non-native people that across the United States and in other countries. But in talking with the Indian people, I found that there's great hesitation in participating in it, because why participate in something, a bicentennial, when we've been here forever, you know? So I think there's a lot of pros and cons to it. I think that we should look at it real close, and in some cases, yes, I think we should participate.
Perhaps you could educate the people who are doing the bicentennial about Indian culture more that way.
Well, I don't know. We've been trying to do that for many years. Uh-huh. It's a possibility, and it's a tool that could be used, I suppose.
Mateke asked Georgiana Lincoln if Alaska should open the North Slope Hall Road to the general public.
The people that are going to be directly affected by it is going to have to answer that. That's it's quote unquote progress again, but I don't know.
I live in the midst of a strawberry field. I pick the strawberries and hand some to you. And if the fruit doesn't suit you, I'll hand you some flowers. A strawberry field is a rose garden too. And I love it every day of my life. I love my children and I'm true to my wife. And I love you, won't you come be my friend? You may never get another chance to be insane again. So I'm able to do as I choose. So I cut paper dolls out of yesterday's news. I shop at the market, I dine at the Grand. My uncle plays drums in a 20-piece band. And I love it every day of my life. I love my children.
Music on this program was from the Robert DeCormier Singers, Doc Watson, Joni Mitchell, and Roger Miller. This is Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening. Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.